Welcome to the Starzology Astrology Podcast. I'm Alison Price, and I'm here with my good friend and host and co-host, Arwen O'Neill.
Hello, Alison. Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks so much for joining me again today. So in this week's episode, we're going to be talking about Mercury in the houses.
Yes. We love some Mercury.
We kind of do like Mercury, don't we?
It's amazing.
Yeah. So I'd like to have a little chitter-chatter about what Mercury is to start with, and then we'll look at it going through some of the houses.
Yeah, or all of the houses.
Well, yes, why not? All of it. You're quite right. That's why not? Why would we not pick a house?
Exactly. Yeah.
So Mercury is the closest planet to the sun.
Yeah.
It takes 88 days to go around the sun. It's pretty fast, little zippy here and zippy there.
Messenger
kind of planet.
Of the gods. Messenger of the gods.
Messenger of the gods.
Yeah.
So in general, it has to be within the same sign as the sun or the sign before or after. It can't be anywhere else.
Right.
And if it is in the sign with the, where the sun is, it kind of reinforces that sign totally. Yeah. And if it's, in the signs next to it, it's giving a different impression altogether.
Yeah. And I always find it interesting to look at someone's chart when they don't have Mercury and the sun in the same sign. Mm. That's always an interesting one because, of course, as we know, the adjacent sign is nothing like the sign. So, for example, someone I know is a Capricorn, but they've got Mercury in Sagittarius, and it's like, wow, that really flavors the personality in a completely different way, because you've got this staid, sort of materialistic, kind of practical Capricorn, but then just the mouth that won't quit, and they just blurt, and they're aggressive verbally, and you're like, whoa, what the, you know, this isn't the Capricorn I signed up for. But then you see that that Sagittarius Mercury, and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
I get it now.
It can be a thing. And that's because Mercury's in detriment in Sagittarius.
Right.
So Mercury's ruling two signs, right? It's ruling Gemini, and Virgo.
Yeah.
So Gemini tends to be good with numbers and Virgo tends to be good with words. And it's all the brain. It's all to do with how you think, what you think and who you think about.
Left hemisphere.
Yes, yeah. What you're thinking about and so on. So just in general then, is your Mercury in the same sign as your sun?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. So we've got this kind of double whammy focus there.
Yeah.
But as you say, it can be dispersed. If Mercury's in the adjacent sign, then it's not quite aligning with the sun. Not that it has to.
Right.
And one of the good spots would be if the sun was in Leo and Mercury was then in Virgo, then they're both strong there. So that's a good one.
What situation do you have? Do you have them?
They're both in Leo, yes.
Yeah. Mine are conjunct in Virgo.
And they're conjunct as well. Yeah. So, interesting.
Yeah. So Mercury is pretty strong in my chart, it's safe to say.
So then, Arwen, with the Mercury being conjoined the sun, is it actually the morning planet then?
Yeah.
So it's rising ahead of the sun on the day you were born.
Absolutely. In fact, if I had been born a couple hours earlier, I would have Mercury in Leo. But
Wouldn't that be a total bonus for you?
Yeah, but then I wouldn't have Scorpio rising. So, screw that.
Yeah, we don't want any of that. No. So what you're saying is you've got Mercury in Virgo, which is where it's dominant there. And the sun is in Virgo too. So Mercury's pretty darn strong there.
Yeah.
And I often say that not many planets can outweigh the sun as being strong. But in this case, Mercury might be one in a particular place where it can be because it is in its own sign.
Yeah,
and of course, it's morning planet. Yeah. So that's an interesting situation too. Yeah.
And of course, in my case, I also have the moon in Virgo and they're all conjunct in a...
It's this whole, but Mercury's still dominating there, you see.
Oh,
so
for sure.
That's a huge, interesting thing.
Yeah.
So with Mercury being in Virgo, would you say that, what I just said earlier, is it numbers or words? Is it words in your life that are the thing?
Hell yeah. Yeah.
It's how you say it, what you say, and the way you deliver it, or just the specific words you're choosing?
It's all of the above. For me, I'm in communications. That's my career.
Wow.
I'm a writer, and I also artist, but in a very analytical way. Like my art is very, it's not expressionistic. It's very literal. It's all about the physical form and then collaging using technology and I'm writing about the art. And there's no art without a story. So all of my art is almost like an assignment. Like I have to fill out 12 months of a calendar. So it's like, it's almost like a puzzle. I have to fill in the blanks of like, I have to find one for each month
So
I always have to set myself an assignment almost to do art. It's not like, I just art for art's sake. No.
No. So you're concerned with punctuation. You're concerned with word count. You're concerned with using the right word.
To an obsessive and almost painful degree.
I see.
And also for fun, first thing in the morning, I always do the New York Times connections and Wordle puzzles.
Do just, you?
Yeah, like literally before I do anything in the morning, that's when I make my coffee and then I do connections and Wordle just as a palate cleanser for the day.
I see.
If I miss a day, I am mortified. Yeah.
Good to know. Well, that's something that people like me who don't have Mercury in Virgo are not actually doing. Whereas we would assume then that people with Mercury in Gemini, which is the numbers thing, will be doing the Sudoku.
Sudoku. To me, I tried to do it once and I was like, yikes, this is
It's a different thing altogether.
Why would anyone do this?
It's a different thing.
The people I've known who do that are accountants. That's what they do for fun.
Interesting. And would you say that, just as a matter of interest, that with your such a strong Mercury, how are you with foreign languages or computer languages or anything like that?
I mean, not foreign languages, although I do know a dabbling of Spanish and a dabbling of French because I went to American schools and those were the languages you had the option to learn. It was equally available. So in Canada, obviously, it would be more French, but I didn't.
Magnifique.
I did not grow up in Canada. So I know just exactly the same amount of French and Spanish, although I kind of prefer Spanish because just I like the way it sounds a little bit better. Piso mojado means wet floor. I love that one.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah.
Good to know.
I know, right? But yeah, it's definitely not the math side. It's more the
words.
Yeah.
And how are you with literature? Do you devour it? Do you immerse yourself?
I am literally constantly listening to audiobooks. If you see me outside walking down the street or working out or even going to bed at night, I'm listening to an audiobook.
Wow.
Yeah. I've got my big headphones on, my big introvert don't talk to me headphones.
Leave me alone, you pesky person.
Leave me alone, I'm learning.
Right.
And then when I go to bed at night, if I don't have my audiobook like set to like 25 minutes, which is the right time to fall asleep, I can't fall asleep to silence anymore. It's like, you know? Yeah.
So interesting how that this planet is so strong for you, and we've just even just scratching the surface of this Mercury, that it's so clearly what you do and who you are, and I know you as such, and even you know your blogs are use a rich language. I want to say it that way. You're not pandering to the grade 8 language ability.
No, screw that. I like to use a big word. I like to use a big, five-letter word at least one every sentence.
There you go.
Or the George Orwell thing of just say it simply. Every once in a while, I like to have a short, punchy sentence, but I do think about these things constantly.
I see. Yeah. And something else I just want to mention, that when you've got a prominent Mercury, it's often an indication of not only naming things, but your name itself.
Oh, well, yeah.
Now, frequently, people with strong Mercuries will actually change their names.
Yeah, interesting.
And I think this may be the case.
I mean, I did go for it, obviously, before the Lord of the Rings movies came out, I was named after a Lord of the Rings character because my mother is a hippie, and I was named Arwen Evenstar back in the 70s. And that spoke to, a very tiny subset of people until the movies came out in the 90s. And then all of a sudden people could be like, oh, wow, you mean like Liv Tyler? And I'm like, yeah, exactly. But for the first, 25 to 30 years of my life, people were like, what is your name?
And did you change the spelling or you?
I did.
Yes.
Actually, because Tolkien put three entire female characters in his entire trilogy. It is a massive, massive, incredibly popular trilogy.
Back in the day,
three entire female characters. What? Come on. Oh, maybe four if you count the tree, but it doesn't matter. Wow. Okay. So that's weird. And he went with spellings that were very kind of traditional. He's a linguist, right? He was a student of languages. And so Arwen, the way it's spelled, A-R-W-E-N, in his books, is kind of a takeoff on Anwen, the king of the underworld, the god of the underworld in Welsh mythology. And so me, precocious little 7-year-old, I'm like, that's a boy's name. And also because everyone at school was like, that's a boy's name, whatever. Anyway, I was kind of concerned about that. I was this little child with waist length blonde hair. No one ever mistook me for a boy, but I was terrified of that for some reason. And so at the age of 7, I asked my mother if I could change the spelling of my name to A-R-W-Y-N-N-E, because to me that seemed more feminine, which it is.
It is.
But that's a weird, precocious thing to do as a child.
But it's the thing that strong Mercuries frequently do. I come across this all the time.
Yeah.
And I have a good friend who's actually got a strong Mercury, and he changed his whole name to something else entirely. And, if you ask these people with charts where there's a prominent Mercury, hey, was that the name you were born with? Oh, no, well, I was called, you know, Reginald Dwight.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think I'll call myself Elton John. And they
uh-huh.
just,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And they either change it to fit more in with their community.
Yeah.
Or because it's so difficult, no one else can say it.
Yeah. Or just their personality. And
yeah.
I mean, I wonder where P. Diddy's Mercury is. Well, although he's getting canceled at the moment, so let's not go there. But yeah, it's funny.
Or Prince, the formerly known as Prince, right?
Oh, same for sure. Thing. Gemini.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. And even the symbol for Prince.
Yeah, it is looks like
very,
Gemini.
Very, very Mercury.
Or something. Yeah, it's yeah. amazing. Yeah. Very good point. Exactly.
Super interesting. Yeah. So, you know, Mercury's got a lot to say. Clearly, yeah. it's our voice. It's right. what we want to talk about, where we go to conversationally.
Totally. And when you talk about languages, like, I mean, I went to school in the U.S. where there was only a few options for languages. But did I learn programming languages then? For sure I did. I went and taught myself HTML. And even 1 week I had to learn Perl, which is a whole nother story. But yeah.
Wow.
I know.
This is people with prominent Mercuries.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so let's just have a look then in general at Mercury as it goes through each of the houses. So these will, to start with, we'll talk about how it is natally, so Mercury in the first house, and then we can consider it also as it's transiting through your first house, right?
Yeah.
So with Mercury in the first house, do you have some thoughts on that?
Yeah, and as I always like to do, I always like to go to an expert and consult the old masters, and in this case it's the 12 houses by Howard Sesportis.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the OGs, and he has something to say about Mercury in the first house. Exactly. So people with this placement are very conscious of themselves and life in general, but being curious and asking questions. They are meant to be spokespeople. They distribute ideas and information, and they are a mimic. So often they can imitate other people's accents or people's voices or people, you know, their mannerisms.
Okay.
And they speak very, they can talk about anything and be like the center of attention. And I actually can 100% guarantee that this is true because my partner has Mercury in the first house and you as well. And this is funny because, yeah, exactly. It just, you walk into a room and people might not, you know, immediately like, oh, they're here. But like, you'll find yourself holding court. No, you know.
Yes. Not yeah. sure to something to
I've
say.
I've seen this happen.
Conversational openers. Yes. Yeah, my exactly. forte. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And they also, apparently, according to Howard Sesportis, maintain a youthful appearance throughout their lives.
Oh, so. No doubt about it.
There you go.
All Peter Panish, we are.
Yeah.
And so if it was perhaps transiting through the first house, it would bring, I would assume, an ability for you to speak for yourself, really.
Yeah.
Say what you have to say.
Yeah. And if you've been holding back on saying something, it's, you know, as Mercury went through your 12th house, for example, like this would be the time to, you know, get that resume out there or say something that you've been holding back.
Yeah.
Or
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Send out that email that's been sitting, festering in your drafts.
Yes.
Clean out the drafts folder.
Or pop the question, perhaps.
Ooh, yeah.
All right. So let's move on then with Mercury then in the second house.
Yeah. So Mercury in the second house can be really good with money and finances when it comes to making deals with people or arbitrating or sort of conducting business in a verbal way.
Mm.
So those conversations that I personally find terrifying, this person might find as
the deal.
Yes, like deal or no deal. Yeah, exactly. So they can be dexterous with their language or using language in a tangible and practical fashion.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great placement. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, I can't think of a bad placement for Mercury. Mercury is one of those things where it's all about just fleshing out the verbal personality and the way that you express yourself, really.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a bad placement. I mean, maybe we'll get to it, but yeah, like maybe 12th house, possibly.
Maybe, yeah.
And it's not about what makes other people comfortable, because maybe Mercury in the 8th house might not make other people comfortable, but yeah.
And then if we considered a Mercury transiting through the 2nd house, we could anticipate conversations around money.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. This is the time to hash out that deal.
And speak to your bank manager.
Yeah, exactly.
And because typically when Mercury's in a chart, in your natal chart, it is your agent.
Yeah.
And if it's in the second house, it tends to be your financial agent, i.e. your bank manager.
Yeah.
Whereas when it's in the first house, it can be actually you and how you advocate for yourself.
That's
so, yeah.
A great point, for sure. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So then let's have a look at Mercury in the third house.
Yeah. So Mercury in the third house, it's one of the natural placements for it because it's the Gemini house, and it's a person with a logical and rational, clever, kind of quick mind, and maybe even too quick. Maybe the chatterbox or the scattered, you know, apparently Mercury, Oscar Wilde apparently had Mercury in the third house, and he's
writers.
We still quote to this day.
To this day.
Hundreds of years later, or at least 100. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, and he also said, truth is rarely pure and never simple, which is, I mean, he's eminently quotable, but that's one of
absolutely.
The great ones. That's one of the great
The quote I like from him is, be yourself because everybody else is taken.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. And I also like, oh, gosh. I mean, we could just.
Yeah.
Fill up an entire podcast with, yeah.
So then if we look at Mercury then transiting the third house, it's, to my mind, it's a good time to start a new course. If you're grown up as we are, decide you're going to take a 6-week course on X, Y, and Z, or you're going to do a writing course, which is what I've been doing recently.
Yeah.
You can begin those things whilst Mercury passes through your third house.
Reach out to the siblings.
That too.
Maybe reach out to people in your neighborhood, neighbors,
close
friends, or the vicinity.
Yeah. Go and have that conversation with your kid's teacher. Okay, then let's have a look at Mercury in the fourth house.
Yeah. So this is apparently to do with having like an academic background. So maybe your parents were teachers, or maybe there's sort of a teaching element in your background or in your household.
Yes. There's books at home, probably.
Yes, exactly. Intelligence is often inherited through the family line. And the fourth house is traditionally the house of the father. So there might be like an intellectual father, an articulate or critical father.
Yes.
And your mental attitudes could be very much inherited from your father's side of the family.
Right.
Yeah. Or you could have I'm thinking like a fatherly, like, we all know people who, even in their youth, seem like the father in the friend group. Like, oh, you're saying, maybe they're telling dad jokes and they're only like in their 20s. Mm. Oh, why are you always the one telling dad jokes? Maybe they've got the Mercury in the fourth house.
Yeah. I frequently see this as a position where, because it's where your ancestors are, the fourth house, and basically it's where you came from. And if your background that you are coming from is less than delightful, people with Mercury in the fourth house will rewrite their backstory to present it better. And you'll see this on things like resumes and where are you from? And they'll say, oh yeah, LA. Meanwhile, it was some backwater somewhere.
Yeah.
Or, there are many places
which are not desirable suburb or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
And or situations or even ethnicities that will be changed so to more fit in with what's more acceptable generally in the world.
And as we all know who've done any kind of genealogical research, the history of our families is very, very
complicated,
self-written.
Yes, well, what do they say, that the winners write the history. So.
For sure, yeah. But I mean, anyone who's any, like, the things where you actually have to send your DNA and you're like, what? This isn't what I learned from my grandmother or great-grandmother. And you learn that, maybe Dutch became Scottish at some point. You're like, wait, how? The etymology of this name doesn't mean what I thought it did.
This is it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, there's a lot to it. Yeah,
for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how about Mercury in the fifth house?
Yeah, so this is where creative pursuits, hobbies, or recreational outlets can have to do with language. And that's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm thinking poetry, songwriting.
What do they call that, slam poetry? Is that what it's called?
Beat poetry, slam poetry, all of that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, open mic night.
Yeah, karaoke.
Yeah, and the Seinfeld type, what do you call it, stand-up comedians.
Yeah. Terrifying. Yeah, exactly. But that fun, like having fun with language, just playing with words or having Pictionary night or, yes. or like board categories games. Or something. Yes.
Bingo or something.
Yeah, yeah. Word games.
Yes.
And not just trivia, but like actually just like making fun with words or fun with,
yes.
yeah, that kind of thing.
Kind of interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Do you have anything?
No.
Yeah, that doesn't speak to me, but I find it interesting.
Yes.
Like a
yes.
restless kind of almost romantic, almost abstraction with languages, which
right.
isn't really how I think of words, but a lot of people are that way, which
yeah.
is cool.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh my gosh, like the rap battle, you know?
Whoa. Right, right, right. Or the battle of the fonts or something
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Comic Sans always loses.
There you go.
Poor Comic Sans.
Yes. Oh, that's that other one. Papyrus is a no-no.
Totally.
So maybe people with Mercury in the fifth house actually design their own fonts with little rabbits on it or something. Oh,
for sure.
I bet they do. Bet they do.
There are so many fonts out there. Someone's doing it.
Yeah, and it's not. Yeah,
it's not us.
No.
I'm more the kind of person who will go and take a personality test that someone else has designed.
Yes.
To tell me what font would be with me. And then I'll be like, I don't like that one. Yeah.
Okay.
Design your own font. People with Mercury in the fifth.
So let's have a look at Mercury in the sixth house then. This is a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, probably so. Yeah. It's people who either use words and brain power
Ooh.
To in the health domain. So maybe yes. people who are like health bloggers. Shout out to the health
in their work. Yeah.
Yeah, the fitness bros, the people who have the influencers.
Yes.
They're endless nutritional.
The bloggers generally, because it's got to be work, hasn't it, when it's in the sixth house?
Yeah, work and
newspapers.
And health. Yeah, totally.
But I think, to be honest, in this position, you're not getting, I want to say, creative insights. You're mm-hmm. getting, let's get the information out. There was an earthquake. Let me tell you all the facts, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Whereas it's more of a matter of transposing information than. Yeah. Bringing up some original poetry or something like that. It's a
yeah.
difference there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. In this book, it says that people with this placement, they excel at jobs that require precision and attention to detail and may perform daily routines with a ritualistic fanaticism or maybe wow. even a fetishistic obsession, which is fascinating.
Wow. So yeah. they go to the gym and they've got to do 100 press-ups and Ooh. Then jog 100 kilometers and then
Yeah.
swim 100 miles or whatever it is they
yeah,
do.
These are not the people that just have the headphones in and are just doing it until
yeah.
they're done. With yeah. They're actually counting.
They're counting. Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Sure. All right, let's move on. What about Mercury in the seventh house?
Yeah, so this is obviously the house of relationships. And this is the people who have the desire to communicate and exchange ideas with different types of people. And they're definitely going to have communication be a huge part of their relationship. So
yes.
these are not the people who just want to come home and like silently sit on the couch and just tune mm-hmm. the person who they're with out.
Yes.
They want to deeply.
Do you think they're texting all day, hearts? I imagine. I mean,
yeah.
texting has to be Mercury, right?
Yeah, for sure. This is not the kind of person who just wants to like, you know, just have a comfortable, like, we don't even have to talk kind of relationship.
Mm.
No, that's not their ideal. No.
So they're chattering all day with their romantic partner and
yeah.
nurturing that relationship through the communication.
And if they don't get that back from the partner, Ooh. That could be, yeah, they could be the kind of person who, I don't want to throw anyone in the bus here, but they could be the kind of person who then meets someone online and has this ongoing flirtation.
Okay.
Or the quote unquote work wife or work husband, because they've got that repartee,
yes.
that constant banter. This person they see at 8 hours a day, who they may not be sexually interested in at all, but they're filling the void because they're not able to communicate with their spouse those
That's
8 hours
there. Because that work person knows what they're talking about.
Yeah,
mm.
exactly.
Tricky.
It's a rough one, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So maybe this is the kind of person who will be better off if they do work with their partner.
Well, yes. that would be a good one.
Yeah,
of course.
Exactly.
Yes.
And then you don't have to have the work wife. It's just
yes.
like, this is, you know, the person
yes.
with them all the time.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith and Son or something.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I empathize with that placement.
You do? Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Because I am the kind of person who wants to kind of.
Are you texting all day to your romantic interest?
Well, gosh. I mean, you know.
Really?
No, but I like to know they're there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Mean, ideally, we would work together, but that's not always possible,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on then. What about Mercury then in the eighth house?
Yeah, this is the kind of person who wants to learn and explore and delve into and maybe even reveal secrets.
Yes.
Yes. This is the investigative journalist.
Yes.
The Edward Snowden,
the break-in at the White House.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
It is a matter of through conversation. They explore your inner secrets.
Yeah. I'm thinking like the Glenn Greenwald, who's all of those great investigative journalists who were like, it doesn't matter if it's taboo. They're not like aligned to a particular network. They're not like the voice of the right or the left. They just want the truth out there. They want to know the truth, and then they want to reveal the truth to everyone
at the right moment.
Yeah, exactly. And the eighth house is not just about sex, but it's about money. It's about secrets. It's about the dark side. So these are, you know, the people who are like going to reveal the hideous truth about some politician or about like the fast food you're eating or about like some, you know, chemical spill that's affecting people in a certain part of the world revealing the dark truths that we need to know.
Yes.
I respect this placement too.
It's a tricky one because the inquiring mind goes down those roads.
Yeah.
So,
and it's not always welcome. People aren't going to always want to hear it. Yes. Like, no, leave me alone. I like my fast food. Don't tell me what's in it.
Exactly.
Don't tell me all of the terrible ingredients I can't pronounce that are in my, you know, green milkshake or whatever.
Like, yes.
Why my fries will not biodegrade. Like, don't tell me. But these are the people who want to know and they want to tell you.
Yeah, but they can keep their own secrets too, though. This is the thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's, what do they say? That if you... If you're having an affair and you don't want your wife to know, don't have the conversation face to face. You have to have it on the phone because she will pick it up.
Oh yeah,
so you've got that as well. You have to be careful with the messages that are coming through as well. So it's a tricky one, I think. It's a tricky one.
Yeah.
And when you have people like that, they are probing, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now we have so many different ways of disseminating information.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny too, because like people who've grown up with texting versus like talking on the phone or in person, it's like the intricacies of what it means if it's, you know, the punctuation, right? Like,
Or these emojis even, I mean.
Oh yeah. 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 Like, you put a period at the end of the sentence, it means you're mad. You know, what?
Well, what's this face and that face? Yeah. Yes. Clearly.
Yeah.
I mean, different things, and everything's got a double meaning anyway. So, interesting.
It's funny. I've always thought, like, the 10 emojis in your most recent.
Yes,
it's always that says
it says everything, right?
Yeah, totally. So,
gosh,
are you a cry laughing, you know, diagonal, gritted teeth, heart, eye roll emoji person, or are you the
heart and flowers and pink flowers and tulips.
Yeah. Heart chasing heart.
We'll have to check our emojis list when we have a moment, Arwen.
Definitely. These people are definitely oriented towards investigation and research and investigating the dark side, the things that...
Going down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
The sex, death, and taxes.
That's the one.
Terrifying stuff.
The inevitables of life. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I think, too, when Mercury is transiting through your eighth house, you're having to have these difficult conversations.
Yeah.
About granny's will or whatever went down, you know. So it comes up. But it's not the end of the world. No,
I mean, your taxes, they come by once a year.
They do. They do.
Unless you're self-employed, in which case you have to do them.
Well, either way, you don't want the... Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to keep it on the down low.
Yeah.
All right, so what about Mercury in the ninth house?
Yeah, so ninth house is the house of law, of travel, of foreign lands, of...
vision.
Yeah, the cosmopolitan, intellectual, philosopher.
Yes.
And that's a great house.
I think this is a place where people are what I call well-read.
Yeah, well-read intellectuals.
Traveled.
Learned.
Learned,
well,
yes.
Well-read,
yes.
Well-traveled. People who are trying to figure the world out let you know about what they've discovered.
They probably do read books and things.
Yeah. They're broadening their mind one way or the other. They're either reading or they're traveling or they're always
communicating.
Sort of communicating.
Yeah. Or devouring newspapers.
Totally.
Yeah.
And maybe they might be either religious scholars or because there is a spiritual aspect to the ninth house.
Yes.
And that's it's a little bit less common, but I know a lot of people who are just curious about the cultures and spiritual beliefs of other
yes.
cultures.
Yes.
And that's definitely a more modern take on it.
It is.
Who are like, oh, you know, I'm a theologian. Theologian of the streets.
There you go. Yeah. You know? Yeah, it's a good placement. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And they definitely would like to know a bit about. It's not a shallow placement, but it's definitely a placement where they like to know. And the world is huge, you know, so
yes.
it becomes shallow when you try to learn a bit about all these different cultures that kind of dip your toe.
So is this the jack of all trades, master of none attitude, where they know a bit about everything but not really go deep on anything?
Yeah, I mean, which
I think
is kind
so.
Of fine because the third house and the ninth house are opposites.
Yes.
Right? It's those opposites that are kind of, in a little way, similar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind of bring in a bit of each other.
Yeah.
And so I do see the ninth house as having like a third house sort of flavor mm-hmm. to it, where
yeah.
you can go so deep into so many different things that it becomes kind of shallow.
Like, yes,
in a
yes.
weird way.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting position, yeah.
Yeah, for mm-hmm. sure. I mean, but better to, I mean, says someone with a lot of Mercury in her chart, it's better to learn a little bit about everything if you can, you know?
Yes.
The more you know, the better.
Right.
Right.
So then let's move on. So Mercury in the 10th house.
Yes. So, I mean, these are people who will use their knowledge and their language for their career.
And their name. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so it's involved with writing, teaching, printing, lecturing, media, telecommunications.
It's huge. This is a good one. This is one who can talk. They can talk about themselves and get their name out there. And
Yeah. And talk their way into a job. That's
yes.
maybe above what they're
punching
station.
Above their weight. Yes.
Yeah. I can.
Yes.
Yeah. I can guarantee that that's true.
And even when you, this is the sort of person who, when you're chatting to them, you give them, you imbue them more kudos than they really deserve because
ooh.
They just have got it. They're presenting it well from the 10th house.
Yeah, yeah, I'm all for that too. That's awesome, yeah. And also the 10th house is the house of the mother, traditionally.
Yes.
So this is someone who may think of, or they'll either think of their mother this way, or their mother was and is actually a clever, articulate, learned person.
Yes.
And I can definitely speak to that being true for me.
Right.
I have Mercury in the 10th house.
Do
mother,
you?
My mother is currently getting her PhD, which is effing amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, wow.
yeah. But yeah. yeah, I mean, she was always like an intellectual. The whole time I was growing up, this is the, you know. This was.
No, I don't.
She was kind of always in college or
wow.
like learning something new or we constantly had books. I mean, I have a huge book collection and that's just something that I grew up thinking was important. So one of my favorite quotes of all time is from John Waters, the iconic Baltimorean American director who said, if you go home with someone and they don't have any books, don't go to bed with them.
Oh, I see.
He said it a little differently, but yes.
Right.
Do not.
Well, that's interesting because when you're brought up with books in your house, you think everybody's got books.
Yeah.
And then you've actually go to people's houses and there's not a book in sight.
Yeah.
And I know you have a vast library. We
vast.
Did speak about this before.
Yes.
And we do say if you've got more than 1,000 books, you've got a library.
Yes.
So you're definitely up there. I'm
yes.
nowhere near there, but I do have books, but not at your level.
Yeah. And I'm also now I've listened to audiobooks more than I actually read physical books. I still have a collection of books because I love to collect art books and astrology books. And yes, they are organized by color, which is a whole nother conversation.
Mm.
But most of the books I've read in the last like 10 to 15 years have been audiobooks, which of course they are ephemeral. They are just disappear the minute you.
So what is the last physical book you purchased then?
That's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been, this is so Scorpio rising. Yeah, it might have been Simon Winchester's Skulls, which is a coffee table book, which has photos of skulls of all the different animals in the animal kingdom.
Scorpio!
Organized by type. So it's got all the lizard skulls, all the turtle skulls, all the mammal skulls, and all the hominid skulls organized in.
Say no more.
Mm-hmm.
Scorpio.
Yeah.
I tell you. Every time you speak, it's coming through loud and clear.
Oh, actually, hold on. I mean, the last book I purchased was my own, Badass Goddesses.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I purchased
that, yeah.
An advanced copy of that. But I stand by both of those. They're both great. They're both excellent.
Mm-hmm.
They both will look great on your coffee table.
Wow.
Okay, then. Badass Goddesses. But, yeah. So, yes. And it's funny too because we're not judgy here on the Startology podcast.
Can't be bothered, can we?
Good Lord. No. Full disclosure, when I met my partner, he had two books, which is fine because one of them was Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, which is awesome.
And the other one was Holding Up the Coffee Table.
Well, he...
No, sorry, that's my joke.
Did he have a coffee table? He had an air mattress that had a hole in it. When we fell asleep, we would wake up and in the hole caused by the... It was wonderful whirlwind romance, and we eventually bought furniture and tons of books together. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's not a hard and fast rule, but it is funny. I do like the John Waters quote about books.
It's true. I think it's you know, because you can look at somebody's bookshelf and it tells you an awful lot about them.
It tells you some things. Yeah.
Yes.
If nothing else, it's a great conversation starter. I recently went to someone's house, and I was not expecting it to be so amazingly decorated because this is someone I met through roller skating, through sports. I mean, not sports, for activity, right? Mm-hmm. And they're usually dressed very sporty and very casual. And I went to their house and it was just beautiful, just wonderful, incredibly beautifully decorated little bungalow. And they had lovely books and they were mostly about gardening. And I'm like, do you have a garden? She's like, no. But there were tons of books about herbs and plants and politics and economics. And
fantastic.
So interesting. Like, yeah, for sure. The things you learn about someone just looking at. And this is one of the things about that we're now going to get into in these days kind of conversation. But these days, digital media is definitely changing the landscape of like what we collect, what we value, what will last. All of our photos are, you know, going to die on a hard drive somewhere. We're not printing out any photos. No, when was the last time you printed a photo, you know, or purchasing books is probably going to go by the wayside. And newspapers, all of that stuff.
Newspapers have gone. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So the things that are going to last, it's just a weird thought. It's a very Mercury thought too, you know.
It like, is. Mercury in the 10th house thought, right there, because it would never enter my head.
Really? Yeah. I mean, I do think about that, the indelibility of ideas and how those ideas are going to be transmitted in the future. I mean, even the NASA has complained that the video stock that they recorded the moon landing and the first launches, like they're constantly having to like transfer those to a different medium because the digital, the whatever magnetic tape that they recorded the original launches on, it's now decaying.
Yeah. And yet we know with the Egyptians, because they carved in stone.
Because they carved it in stone. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like we did carve the plaque that's on the moon, like we came in peace for all mankind. Like that's carved on a piece of metal on the moon. Mm. So we have that. But yet all the books and photos and all that stuff that we're so obsessed with now will last like, you know,
5 years tops,
until the next iPhone type comes out or whatever, you know. All of our hard drives are like, can't access a lot anymore. Wow. Yeah. Something I think about as a Virgo with Mercury.
It's in the 10th house. Well, let's move on then. Let's have a look at Mercury in the 11th house.
Yes. So this is awareness of self and life in general is expanded through friendships and groups. So rather than pursuing something alone, Mercury in the 11th house prefers to pursue knowledge in a group of people with similar interests. Mm-hmm. So for instance, you can study astrology by yourself or you can join a group of people.
Yes.
And that will be much better for you if you have Mercury in the 11th house. And this is one of those placements where your ideas will percolate better and be more advanced and more expanded if you are bouncing them off of other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they prefer to join organizations and promote their ideas through common shared
experiences.
It's
like the book club thing. This is the classic.
Club.
Yeah.
Exactly. The book club, the astrology club, meetup.org. If that's even...
Meetups, yes.
Still exists, for sure.
Yeah, yes, it still does.
Yeah. So debating clubs, writing societies, writing groups, even, or like...
Well, there's this bunch called, what is it, Shut Up and Write Vancouver.
Ah, yeah.
And you go there and you can talk for 10 minutes, then she rings a bell in the coffee shop.
Yeah.
And you have to write for 30 minutes in your journal, and then you can chat afterwards. So it's called Shut Up and Write, which is kind of...
That's fascinating.
Yeah, I went to one and it's fine. But, you know, it's a different approach to getting the thoughts out of your head onto the page.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you have Mercury in the 11th house, maybe look into a group like that if you've had trouble writing.
No, I haven't gone back. So you say I don't have Mercury in the 11th house.
Right, exactly. I mean, yeah. You find your own ways.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And for some people, it's those morning pages. Like, yes. This way, you know.
I like the idea of morning pages. I have done them probably for a week, but yeah. I can't keep going.
Yeah. And at some point you think, oh, gosh, it's such a waste of paper.
Well, yeah.
Or I do. If
yes,
me,
yes, yeah.
And then you try to use your memo in the old phone.
I don't like that.
I record my dreams that way.
Okay.
Because it's good to record your dreams if you want to gain insight from them. That's something that feels a little Mercury in the
12th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Should we have a look at Mercury in the 12th?
Let's do that, yeah.
So this is definitely one of the placements where I say, get a dream journal next to your bed with a pen ready.
Yeah.
So the minute you wake up, you can reach and say, tiger chasing me.
Yeah, exactly.
Fell down well.
Yeah.
Because you will forget. And that's why you have to have the page ready.
If you get up to wash your hands, you'll forget.
Yes.
And that's why I use my phone, because I can't be bothered to turn the light on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When I wake up in the middle of the night, this is one of the weird things about me. When I wake up, I don't like to know what time it is because I want to sleep as long as I can.
Right.
So if I wake up and I know what time it is, it's like I have to wake up at 7:30. This is just how I am, right? For work, right? If I wake up and I know it's after 6, oh, it's ruined. I will not get back to sleep. But if it's like, I look at the clock and it's like, oh, it's only 1:15 or it's only 2:30. Thank God. Okay, I can fall back to sleep. But I don't like to look at the clock then.
Yeah. So I must admit, I'm the same. Yeah, I don't want to know what the time is.
No, if I wake up and I've had a dream that's interesting, I will turn my phone on, not look at the time, and open the memo and just read it. And this has resulted in some very funny things because I read, I narrate it out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't type it.
Make a voice memo.
Yeah, voice memo. And sometimes when I read it the next morning, I'm like, what the hell? Like, that makes no sense. But it's actually kind of funny. Like, that would be an interesting podcast to do of just me reading ridiculous, dream
messages
journal
to
entries.
Yourself.
Yes. I don't know if anyone else would find that interesting, but to me, it makes me laugh to think of doing that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they're hilarious.
But I do think people with Mercury in the 12th house will benefit from getting stuff out of their subconscious,
for sure,
which is represented by the 12th house, into the light of day, so we could say it's not as bad as we thought.
Yeah.
And they say, the darkest hour is just before dawn, and that's your 12th house.
Yeah, and that's where some insights can come that might actually be useful.
Yeah.
Because it's otherwise just weird.
As I say, with the first house Mercury, it's just
it's all on the surface.
What the heck? Yeah.
But if you have Mercury in the 12th, maybe that's where your amazing insights will come from. It's from the subconscious.
Yeah.
And so you need to figure out a way to actually transcribe it into the living, waking world.
I do think Mercury's got a lot to say about how we capture our thoughts.
Yeah.
And what we let just drift straight past and what we think, hang on, let me make a note.
Yeah.
And I'm a great one for let me make a note.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, when people recommend books or movies, I'm constantly, I have the memo app, obviously, but I have one that's recommendations.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I was even writing down a recommendation.
This is it. Yeah, I can't take a phone call without having, I might need to make a note about what did she say, what did she reference, what was the number, this and that.
Yeah.
And I do this really when I'm writing my blog and whatnot, and I wake up and think, that would be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I write the words down and I think, well, if it's important enough to go from this secretary's notebook onto a post-it note, it will live for a week on my desk, and then it might make it into one of my journals.
Yeah.
And that's how you filter out, or that's how I filter out the important thoughts that swing by and those that are meant to be paid attention to.
Yeah. I mean, I might never look at my notes again, but it's just the act of writing it down that
helps.
Exactly. In memory.
This is it. And this is, I think, where good pens come in as well. You've got to have, I think it's got to be in full color, right? I mean, otherwise it's...
I'm all about the colored highlighters for sure.
Yes. I do think that's important. And I think we all have valuable ideas that may be dismissed and shouldn't be. And if we just had a bit more time to say, let me think about that. Mm. Like we used to back in the day, but not so much these days, I think.
Mm. Yeah. So one more thing about the 12th house is that this is the house where clear thinking might be obscured by unconscious emotional baggage and issues and complexes. So these people might have difficulty thinking clearly or expressing themselves clearly. I don't want to say it's got anything to do with learning disabilities, nothing like that. It's just their emotionality might cloud the way they communicate or the way they communicate with themselves. So these people can definitely benefit from like journaling,
yes,
being very clear, not, you know, just expressing whatever comes to mind immediately, like definitely
direct, pondering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Interesting.
But on the positive side, and I'm quoting Howard Sesportis again, they can talk themselves out of difficulties like Odysseus, maneuvering cleverly through a tricky situation.
Whoa.
Yeah. Which is awesome.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I admire that.
Okay, so we've been speaking about Mercury through the houses, both natally and in some cases with transits. We've explored a few of the concepts and how the Mercury energy is expressed. So if you found any value within this episode, please do share it with someone who would be interested.
Absolutely.
If you have any questions about this or anything else about astrology, you can email us at starsology@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And our website is starsology.com. So I want to thank you. I'd like to thank you so much again for being here and sharing your insights with us about Mercury through the houses.
Thank you for inviting me, Alison. This has been great.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for getting this far through the episode. I just want to take a moment to tell you about the two main options of my astrology services. So the first one is coaching. If you are an aspiring astrologer, and by that I mean someone who's perhaps a hobbyist astrologer or someone who's learning astrology or a student, or you've got a few books and you've been doing it for a while, but perhaps you need a little bit of help to bring it all together, then maybe getting some astrological coaching from me would be the answer for you. The astrology coaching I offer is a 1-hour session on Zoom, and it's tailored to answer your particular questions. For example, if you have issues with natal chart readings, we can go there. Or if you're having problems working with your forecasting, we can go there. Or even basic astrology stuff, or even getting yourself organized for your astrology business. The idea is that astrological coaching will answer your particular questions. It's tailored specifically to you and where you are in your astrological journey. And I'm happy to help you out with some guidance about how you can get going, what to focus on, and what to dismiss. So that would be the astrological coaching for people trying to learn astrology. The second astrological service I offer is consultations. So this is for someone who perhaps doesn't know anything about astrology, but they just want to have their chart read or get their chart done. Call it what you will. So once more, this is a 1-hour consultation over Zoom. I will interpret your chart, tell you about the main features, tell you about where the energy is flowing, and all the rest of what is entailed in a thorough natal chart interpretation. I can also add in some forecasting in there too, bearing in mind we only have 1 hour. So just in summary, I've got coaching for people who want to learn astrology, and I've got consultations for those who want to get an astrology reading done. I'm Alison Price from starsology.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.